And then we have a question. That's a very common question.
Yes.
Is who are the 144,000? Is it a literal or is it a prophetic number? Now, this question comes over and over and over again. And if you look at the composition of the 144,000, it mentions the tribes, right?
Yes.
And it says 12,000 from each tribe. Mm-hmm. So the question is this a literal number? Do the tribes still exist?
No.
The tribes don't exist anymore. Some people think that they do exist.
Yes.
And that they migrated westward and that they constitute some of the Western nations, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible clearly tells us that they were scattered to the east. And the Assyrians made sure that those nations ceased to exist as nations.
Mm.
And they were pretty brutal about it. I think we've discussed it in one of the previous ones already.
Yes. There's also a lecture on it, I think.
Yeah. So let's not go there. We're not talking about literal tribes. And then also the composition of the tribes in the book of Revelation is different to the composition in the Old Testament. For example, the tribe of Dan isn't mentioned in the book of Revelation, although David had mighty men from the tribe of Dan that are listed as the heroes of Dan. So that would seem to make it a prophetic number rather than a literal number. And there are also people that will stand with the 144,000. So these will be the people that will be alive when Christ returns. That's the 144,000. Those that stand with them will be the redeemed, right?
Yes.
Now, he also saw a great multitude standing with the 144,000. So exactly who the 144,000 are, what are they comprised of, the Bible doesn't say. And there's a rule of thumb which says when the Bible doesn't say something, then do not speculate beyond what is written.
Like we mentioned earlier, the question that the Sadducees had.
Yes.
On the wives.
So may I be tongue-in-cheek? May I be naughty? Because that's part of our trademark, right? I would say it's a prophetic number. But if things continue as they are in terms of the apostasy that is happening within and without, then I'm getting pretty scared that it could be a literal number. But let's not go there.
Yeah.
That's just tongue-in-cheek. Here are a few statements which we might be able to glean something from. This one comes from the Review and Herald, March 9, 1905. We are to copy no human being. There is no human being wise enough to be our criterion. Not even an organization of a few people can be set up as a standard for what you should believe. We have no creed. The Bible and the spirit of prophecy, that's what the Lord gave us.
Yes.
The greater light and the lesser light. We are to look to the man Christ Jesus, who is complete in perfection of righteousness and holiness. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the pattern man. His experience is the measure of the experience that we are to gain. His character is our model. Let us then take our minds off the perplexities and difficulties of this life and fix them on him, that by beholding we may be changed into his likeness. We may behold Christ to good purpose. We may safely look to him, for he is all wise. As we look to him and think of him, he will be formed within the hope of glory. I mean, these are absolutely inspired words.
Yes.
Let us strive with all the power that God has given us to be among the 144,000. It doesn't mean that you will be part of the 140, but yeah. be among them.
Yes.
And let us do all that we can to help others to gain heaven. We are to have an intense interest in Christ Jesus, for he is our Savior. He came to this world to be tempted in all points as we are, to prove to the universe that in this world of sin, human beings can live lives that God will approve. Now, we've dealt with that on many levels. We must do in our sphere
what we can.
What we can, and God will add in his sphere what he can. John saw a lamb on Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. In other words, they have the character of God impressed upon their nature, on their cognitive thinking.
Yes.
In other words, they are sealed. They are so yes. settled in the truth that they cannot be moved.
Yes.
They bore the signet of heaven. They reflect the image of God. They were full of the light and the glory of the Holy One. If we would have the image and superscription of God upon us, we must separate ourselves from all iniquity. We must forsake every evil way, and then we must trust our cases in the hands of Christ. In other words, you must do what you can.
Mm-hmm.
What is in your sphere? What is possible for you concerning or considering your fallen nature?
Yes.
While we are working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, God will work in us to will and to do his own good pleasure. That is imparted righteousness. While you must do your part, yet it is God that must give you aid and sanctify you. So you do what is in your sphere. Mm-hmm. God does what is in his sphere. While you must do your part, Christ makes us penitent that he may forgive us. So even my repentance is not mine.
Yeah.
Comes from him. And that we must understand. So if you have that, then you will be with 144,000 and maybe part of 144,000 should you be
alive
in that generation. Is another statement from Manuscript 26, 1901. Christ said that there will be those in the church who will present fables and suppositions when God has given grand, elevating, and noble truths which should be ever kept in treasure house of the mind. When men pick up this theory and that theory, when they are curious to know something it is not necessary for them to know, God is not leading them. It is not his plan that his people shall present something which they have to suppose, which is not taught in the word. It is not his will that they shall get into controversy over questions which will not help them spiritually, such as, who is to compose the 144,000? That's pretty clear. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. So what's the point of speculating?
Yeah.
So what is our part?
Rather get yourself ready to be part of the 144,000.
Right. So strive in your sphere to do what you can and pray to God
yes.
for his sphere to be added. This those who are the elect of God will a short time know without question. My brethren and sisters, appreciate and study the truths God has given for you and your children. Spend not your time in seeking to know that which will be no spiritual help. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? This is the all-important question. And it has been clearly written. What is written in the law? How readest thou? That's a very nice answer to this question. Here's another statement from Last Day Events, page 222. She's talking here about the Mrs. Hastings, who she claimed was sealed and would come up at the voice of God and stand upon the earth and would be with the 144,000. I saw we need not mourn for her. She would rest in the time of trouble. So she's not part of them. She's with them.
Yeah.
This gives us another clue. And this one is very interesting from Christian Experience and Teachings, page 59. Then Jesus' silver trumpet sounded. As he descended on the cloud, wrapped in flames of fire, he gazed on the graves of the sleeping saints, then raised his eyes and hands to heaven and cried, "Awake, awake, awake." Three times. That's very important that it is three times. It's very seldom that the Bible repeats something three times. Very often twice. Mm. Verily, verily, I say unto you.
Yeah.
All right? That is twice. Or when he addresses people, Moses, Moses.
Yeah.
Or Samuel, Samuel. That is twice.
Soul, soul.
Now, here is one of the occasions when he says it three times. Mm. So that is special emphasis. The other one that's very important where he mentions something three times is holy.
Yeah.
Holy, 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 holy. Holy. And you find it in the Old Testament and you find it in the New Testament. So very, very prominent. So this is the great culmination of all things when he calls the sleeping saints. And he says it three times, "Awake, awake, awake, ye that sleep in the dust, and arise." Then there was a mighty earthquake, the graves opened, and the dead came up clothed with immortality. And the 144th shouted, "Hallelujah," as they recognized their friends who had been torn from them by death. And in the same moment were we changed and caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So from this one can elude that the 144,000 are alive.
Yes.
At the coming of Christ. Who they are, we don't know. So strive to be among the 144,000.